I bring you greetings and salutations. My name is Reverend Chris Okotie. I am the Shepherd Superintendent of the Household of God, Ecclesia. In my last allocution, I expounded more perfectly to you the things that pertain to the eschatological dimensions of the divine protocol. And I took time in a conversational approach that I maintained throughout the discussion to explain what it is that is going on with regard to the COVID-19 pandemic. And I labored to bring to you the mind of Almighty God, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. There is a context in which I want to speak this time. And I would like you to pay attention to the things that I want to say. I'm going to make it as brief as possible so that you don't have to labor to listen to the things that I want to say. I said to you in that disquisition that Satan chose this year particularly because it has a reference to the number 10. And I explained to you that we're not dealing with the number 666. It's important to understand that the number 666 refers to the designation of the Antichrist. That number is a prophetic assignment appellation, and it deals with his identity. But in the Bible, his operation is bracketized in the number 10. When you read in the book of 2 Thessalonians, it's written, the mystery of iniquity doth already work. In other words, that power has already been energized. That is the operation of the Antichrist. So the number 10 deals with his operation or his operational propensity or proclivity. That is why when you find the devil in Revelation chapter 12, when he appears as the red dragon, he has 7 heads, but he has 10 horns. When the Antichrist is revealed in the same way in the following chapter, that is chapter 13, he is described there as a beast coming out of the sea, and he has 7 heads, and he has 10 horns. See, the 7 heads refer to Satan impersonating Almighty God as the God of this world. And the 10 horns refer to the power in which he attempts to challenge Almighty God, his authority upon the face of the earth, just like I said before in the COVID-19 mystery. And if you look at that revelation in chapter 12, you will discover that the 7 heads of Satan have 7 crowns. But when the Antichrist is revealed in the 13th chapter, it's just said that he has 7 heads and the crowns are on the 10 horns, because that is a reference to his power here on earth, representing Satan and trying to carry out the nefarious activities of the diabolical personage called Lucifer. So please understand the difference. So whenever you hear the word 666, it's just an identification number. His operation comes under the number 10. All right. Now, in the last disquisition, I didn't discuss the subject of the mask because I was waiting for the manifestation of that mask to go from what it is as a mask into becoming a veil. And if you look at the progression or the evolution of the mask, you would notice that it progressed from just being a mask covering your nose and your mouth and that area to becoming a face shield, which is what a veil is. Now, why that is relevant is because the veil is found in Scripture and it represents something very, very profound. And that's what I want to mention very briefly. The veil was first introduced by Moses when he came down from the mountain. And the glory of God was upon his face, and then he covered his face with a veil because he didn't want Israel to see that glory eventually diminish and vanish. That's what the Bible tells us. Later on, when the law was established, we find in the temple two veils, the one that is in the holy place and the one that is in the holy of holies. So in the case of Moses, his face is covered by one veil. But in the case of God in the temple, in the most holy place, he's covered by two veils. So if you were trying to approach God from the outer court, the more you went closer to him, the darker it became because you couldn't see his face. The first veil made it impossible, and then the second veil made it absolutely impossible to see his face. And I'm making it very simplistic, again, without being pedantic and didactic about this presentation. And so we find that the veil represents that barrier between God and man. We're told in the scripture that when the Old Testament is read today, the veil that was on the face of Moses has moved into the heart of the Jewish person who is under the law, and he can no longer or he cannot understand the word of God when it is read to him because of that veil. Now, when Jesus went to the cross, we read in scripture that when the sacrifice took place, the first sign of the approval and the acceptance of that sacrifice was that the veil in the temple, that is the second veil, was split in two. So that man has access to God now and God has access to man. So there's a rapprochement based on the blood of the Lord Jesus. So when a man stands in the presence of Almighty God wearing a veil, what you might call a face shield or even a mask, what you are saying to him is that you are denying the efficacy of the blood sacrifice. You are denying that the blood sacrifice was accepted and that the rapprochement between God and man was empowered by the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, to make it pretty simple, you are denying the finished work of the cross. So when you go to church and you stand in the presence of the Lord as a New Testament saint, what you are saying without saying is that the veil between God and man is still in place, even though that veil has been removed. Most Christians do not understand that because they think this is a medical situation. They do not understand that the enemy, Satan, is trying to mock God and is challenging the efficacy of the finished work of the cross. So not only does Bill Gates identify with Moses because he is the commander of the ten, but he must also identify with Moses by making us wear that veil. Because when you stand in the presence of the Lord wearing that veil, it is reminiscent of Moses. And Bill Gates identifies with that. Remember what I told you about he being the commander of the ten. So in the second aspect of his identification with Moses is the wearing of this face shield or face mask, which is what the Bible calls a veil. And that is why no born-again Christian who has that understanding can go to church wearing a face mask or wearing a face shield, because that negates the finished work of the cross and therefore creates the pattern for Bill Gates to challenge the authority of Almighty God based on the finished work of the cross, because the authority that God has on earth today concerning man is through Jesus. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, he said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. So you go in my name. And that can only be once that veil has been removed. Because as long as the veil is still present, there can never be a covenant between the two of them that brings that proximity or the propinquity or the familiarity. It will not be possible. So Paul, talking to us about this subject in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, talks about the glory that fades away that was behind the veil. So within the legalistic chambers of Moses, there is a fading glory because of the covered face. But Paul says to us that the New Testament saint is different and describes us, all of us, with an open face. Now, if you look at it in the Greek, it's not in the plural. It doesn't say we all with open faces. It's not what it's saying. Now, some translations may say that, but that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the fact that we are all one body connected to the Lord Jesus. And because we are connected to the Lord Jesus, the glory of God upon the face of the Lord Jesus is what we reflect. So with the fact that the face of the Lord Jesus is open and is not veiled, when we behold that face, which is what we see in Scripture, we're translated or transformed into that image from glory to glory through the Spirit, which is the Lord Himself. See? So if a believer goes before the presence of the Lord with a veil, you negate what the Bible is saying. You frustrate the work of the cross. You stand in denial of the efficacy of that blood. And you take position with Bill Gates and Satan, who continues to challenge what the Lord has done and has decided to challenge him this particular year. You know, I mentioned to you in my first allocution that he chose this year particularly because the Gregorian calendar that we follow has this year as 2020, and it is 10 in four places. 10, 10, 10, 10. But it's not just the Gregorian calendar. The Islamic calendar for this year is 1441. 1 plus 4 plus 4 plus 1, 10. The Jewish calendar for this year is 5780. That's 5 plus 7, 12 plus 8. That's 20. 10, 10. So it is a deliberate, premeditated strategy of the enemy to make sure that he challenges God at this particular time, because it is very auspicious for him in terms of the number 10 as they relate to the power of Almighty God in Scripture and in the creation that cannot be challenged. So understand the seriousness of what is at stake. And it's not like we don't want to go to church. David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. But the thing about it is that you cannot provide an atmosphere for God to inhabit in terms of worship or as a people if the altar is not in order. Before Elijah called fire from heaven, he had to set the altar in order. In the Old Testament, God took time to describe to Moses how the altar should be set. Now, that is just a type of what is going on today in our spirit man. In the sense that when we come before the presence of the Lord, there are certain things that he expects us to do. And they must be done decently and in order. See, so before we bring our sacrifice of praise and the fruit of our lips giving thanks, before we offer him all of these things, we must make sure that the altar is in place. That is why you cannot bring a veiled face into his presence. That is a disorder. So it's not just the fact that we want to go to church. You cannot go to church to lift up holy hands with veiled faces. That is sacrilegious. You are mocking your God. It's just that you're not aware of it. And Bill Gates is aware of it. Lucifer is aware of it. And these are the adversaries of the church and the adversaries of our God. And you must pay attention. That is why we cannot accept any condition from whichever authority that is asking us to go to church with veiled faces, with masks. Outside of the fact that it's a mockery to our God who has told us that he has healed us, or the efficacy of Psalm 91, and by the stripes of Jesus we are healed. Outside of the fact that that is diametrically opposed to the reality and the veracity of those scriptures. But the fact that you are wearing a veil takes it to another level where you are actually denying the finished work of the cross. Remember what I said, our faith is predicated on the finished work of the cross. It is vindicated by his resurrection, and it is crystallized when we personally appropriate his blood through faith. So child of Almighty God, these are things you need to pray about, and don't be quick to run to church, because we all love the Lord. We do, and he wants us to come into his presence, but we cannot do so if we do not present things as enunciated in the scriptures. We'll be mocking our God. And God forbid that any child of God would go in that manner before his presence. So I wanted to clarify this to let you know why we cannot go to church next Sunday. We will wait and trust that the Lord will sort this thing out. Jesus is the head of the body. He is the savior of the body. And he would take care of these things. Remember, he's the one who came from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah. This that is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save, saith the Lord. We must remember that he is more than able. Before these people began to propose this thing, I told you, he already disposed of it. Fear not, he will do what he promised. The shaking has already begun. The enemies of our God will come to naught. Like Jannes and Jambres, their folly shall be made manifest. So do not be afraid. We will wait until we are able to stand in his presence to worship him in the manner that he has stated. And those protocols concerning his worship in the Bible, we must follow. So I know you're disappointed. I am disappointed. But I trust that the Lord, the God with whom we have to do, the Pantocrator, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the one who sits upon the circle of the earth and the inhabitants thereof as grasshoppers, has already taken cognizance of what is going on. They are building their Tower of Babel. He will allow them build it to a certain altitude. And then he will come down and confound their language. And they shall all be scattered. And confusion will set in. So do not be afraid. Do not worry. Just continue to acknowledge him. Remember, in your own house, like Daniel, open the window of your faith towards the heavenly Jerusalem and lift up your hands unto that God who sits in the heavens, before whom are the seven fires of his ubiquitous spirit. And you have the awesome foursome chanting endlessly, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which is, which was, which is to come, surrounded by the rainbow of his magnanimity. That same God is present, and his ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. So I just want to encourage you and to help you remember that faithful is he that has promised, and we do it. We give praise to Jesus. We thank God for what he has done in Nigeria, what he is doing, and what he is going to do. Blessed be our God forever. In the name of Jesus.